The word is from Luke chapter 11, verse 5 through 13. And he said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot give up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything, because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it shall be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives. And everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. A few weeks ago, I shared a message on the Lord's Prayer, and we saw that given the incredible challenge the disciples faced in following Jesus, and the opposition as they sought to bring forth the kingdom of God, and this deep sense of connection that Jesus had with his heavenly Father, one of the disciples cried out, Lord, teach us, Lord, to pray. Now, we oftentimes experience challenge, do we not? Seeking to live out our faith in this culture, increasingly far from God culture. And we sometimes feel, you know, inadequate and powerless in our prayer life. I mean, we too, in a sense, can cry out, Lord, teach us to pray as you prayed, Jesus. And Jesus answers, pray. When you pray, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. I'll share more on that in just a moment. But someone has described our prayer life in terms of a Coke machine. Now think about it. We put in the correct change, right? We make the selection, and we expect to get what we select, what we want, right? Isn't that what Jesus is saying when he says, everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be open? And so what do? We offer our coins, our wants, our needs, our beliefs, and our good behavior, right? Good Christians. So God, now give me what I need, what I want, what I ask for. Now, prayer doesn't quite work like that, correct? I mean, Coke machines are great until you put your coin in and you don't get anything in return. Or if you receive something else, like, Orange Crush or something, you wanted a Coke. And that happens, what do? I mean, holy cow, we expect to get what we did our end. Where's the deliverance, you know? And so what do? We hit that button time and again. We may even shake the machine. Be careful, there are cameras around. But it's not so different with respect to our prayer life. I mean, who among us has not felt angry, confused, hurt, betrayed even? We sometimes even lose faith that God doesn't seem to be answering our prayers the way we want God to answer them. You know, I shared in that message on the Lord's Prayer, however, a few weeks back, that as God's beloved, and because our God is our good Heavenly Father, we can come to God confidently in prayer. And we see this, of course, today in our reading. It's a continuation of Jesus' teaching on the Lord's Prayer. In verses 5 through 8, we have this parable that Jesus uses to teach, to drive home that reality, that truth. And Jesus taught in parables, and parables literally means something laid alongside, something laid alongside. And so if we're laying something alongside another to teach, to make a point, the point can be drawn from the fact that things perhaps are like, you know, similar to the parable, or dissimilar, or in contrast to each other. And really, this parable, Jesus uses it, teaches to draw a contrast to himself. So in verses 5 and 6, we read a continuation of the Lord's Prayer in verses 1 through 4. And he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight, and you say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. It's easy to identify. I mean, we don't necessarily knock, you know, on the door at someone's house at midnight, but it's easy for us to identify this guy's great need as he goes to his friend. I mean, we have great need. We often go to pray to God because we're in great need, right? You know, come. And so, you know, we think it's strange. I mean, the guy shows up at midnight. When's the last time you knocked on a door at midnight? Not often. He's unannounced. He demands bread. In the Middle Eastern culture, however, people did travel at night. You know something about that. It's so hot, so they traveled at night. And, you know, hospitality was of the utmost importance in that culture. There was no, you know, Motel 6s as such. And the quality of the hospitality someone offered would either reflect positively or negatively on that individual, hence his persistence, or on the village itself. And so, this person, you can picture the scene. He's pretty darn desperate, is he not? And he goes to this person, this friend, and his door is shut. I mean, it's midnight. And when the door is shut, it means, hey, you know what? No room in the inn. Don't knock. Don't bug me. This guy's banging away. I mean, you can picture it, a modest little single dwelling place, perhaps with an elevated loft. Finally, he's got his kids to bed. They're in that loft sleeping. The animals have been brought in for safety and protection. And this guy's out there banging away. We read, however, that even though he is put out, hey, friend, my kids are asleep. Even though he is put out, finally, reluctantly, out of self-interest, because he doesn't want to be reflected badly on, he opens the door. He opens the door. The point of the parable is, if this very reluctant, you know, householder, you know, finally opens the door because of the persistence, how much more will your good Heavenly Father give good gifts to his beloved children? Do you believe that? Believe that, that your good Heavenly Father desires to give good gifts to you as beloved children. He promises to give the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, without measure. You read on and you hear, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And so that's why Jesus says confidently then. He says, ask, it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. And the verbs have this sense of a continuous action, present tense, continuous action. Keep on asking, keep on searching, keep on knocking. Because then he says in 10, for everyone who asks receives. Everyone who searches finds. Everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Do you believe? Your good Heavenly Father desires to give you good gifts. Keep knocking, keep searching. But we know, again, our prayer life isn't like a Coke machine. I mean, we have prayed. Who among us has not prayed for the healing of a friend or a family member, a loved one, and that healing was not forthcoming? We start to wonder. You know, who among us, if you're a parent, has not prayed persistently for your son or daughter, or perhaps wayward son or daughter, only to see them a continuation of behaviors that are sabotaging their lives? Who among us doesn't pray for unbelieving friends, family members, they continue to persist in unbelief and go on their merry way? We sometimes feel like we're forgotten, we're hurt, we're angry, we're confused. We wonder why our loving, all-powerful God is denying these good requests from us, his beloved. And there is a sense, truthfully, that unanswered prayer is a part of our journey, at least for the time being. It's a bit of a mystery. We need to remember, however, the kingdom is already, but not yet. It's within, but it's not come in all its fullness. God reigns and rules internally within the lives of believers, but on the outside, out there, we still have enemies. There is a lack of submission, of course, on the part of the evil one who seeks to still wreak havoc in this world and in our lives. Be sure, his years are counted, the evil one. His end is sure, but in the meantime, again, he is the prince of the world. We know about our own flesh, do we not? How easily we can be swayed by this world. And again, by the evil one. Do you ever find yourself really thinking some pretty far out things before you're reeled in? We don't often submit to God and obey. But friends, the good news, the war has been won. God will have the final say. And because of the ultimate victory, Christians have the assurance, and I like this, that those very prayers that seemed unanswered in this life will receive spectacular vindication in eternity at the second coming of Jesus. Keep praying. Keep asking. Keep knocking. Keep searching. On another note, too, sometimes we ask wrongly, as it's put in James. We ask according to the flesh. You know, and James says to spend it on your passions. And sometimes God says, yeah, but not yet. And he's working to develop, deepen our character. Deepen our trust in him, our good Father, and his goodness. Over the last 3 or 4 months, praying for kind of a breakthrough in an area of my life, and I've been persistent for that breakthrough. But in spite of some of that persistence, I can say the situation has not changed on a dime. Some moments of peace, but then some of the haunting thoughts can come back here. And as I've prayed on, I've gotten the sense, hey, you know, God, the Spirit is teaching me something here. And that is to deepen my trust in God, to strengthen my character, the character of my faith, to discover, in spite of the tension of sinful flesh and a fallen world with an enemy, Satan, to deepen my character in the sufficiency of God, the presence of God, and satisfaction in God himself. God changes our circumstances, but the most important gift and the most important change is in our hearts when God gives us the greatest gift, and that is the gift of himself in this world, his presence. The kingdom of God is within you, Jesus says. Prayer is about God, about an ongoing relationship with God our Father, sensing his presence, his faithfulness, again, in the midst of the challenges of living faith in this world. Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And it wasn't so much about methodology, you know, kind of the when, the how. He did teach them what to pray and say, remember, in a very succinct way, "Our Father, hallowed be." But it was more about modeling this relationship, this deep connection he had with his heavenly Father. You know, Jesus, when he was pressed. When he was pressed, he was the rave for a time. You know, fame and glory. Used political means. When he was tested to become a political Messiah, Jesus went off into the hills to pray to our Father, and we see him then going on in a new direction. When he had that very, very crucial decision whom to call his disciples, we are told he went to the mountains to pray to our Father all night. in Gethsemane, you see his prayer life. He is going to his Father, his fears, his sorrows. So great, so weighty, that he sweat like drops of blood coming down. Drops of blood literally came down. He cried out, "Father, Father, Father, if possible, let this cup pass." And from the cross, he prays, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I believe, because of our flesh, the biggest challenge, we have a busy culture, you know, production on the move, but I believe one of the real challenging aspects of our prayer life and our faith life is that sometimes we don't so much want God as we want that Coke machine. We want to put the coins in, make our selection, and get what we want, right? And yet on our better days, we know changing circumstances or getting what we want in the moment isn't ultimately what we need. The truth be known, we need God. And that's why we're told in Romans that the Spirit then, the Holy Spirit, you know, prays with us in a sense. The Holy Spirit is teaching us to pray, God, our Father. To come to him is Abba, Daddy. The Spirit's teaching us to bring our burdens, our cares, our concerns. God, make your presence known. I know we still live in a fallen world. And we can pray this. The word persistence here can be also translated from the Greek boldly and shamelessly. Boldly and shamelessly. Think of it. We can boldly and shamelessly pray, our Father in heaven, hell. Our Father, come to us. Give us the gift of your presence in the midst of our challenge. And there is this sense, too, of, you know, it's you can't just flip your... God is always present. He's omnipresent. But our experience of the presence of God, sometimes we experience him absence before presence. However, look what it says in Jeremiah, and this is true, Jeremiah 29. The people of Israel are in Babylon. They're in exile. God, where are you? Have you forgotten about us? God says, when you search for me, you will find me if you seek me with all of your heart. That's that searching. That's that asking, that searching, knocking. God wants to be pursued. God will be found, or God will find us, perhaps better said. But we'll get found. 13 of our reading today, finally. If you then who are evil, we don't like to hear that. I mean, we're fallen, broken parents, so we're not perfect parents. But look what he says. If you then are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Again, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Again, the Spirit without measure. Presence, the reign and rule of God in our lives within, breaking forth out into the world as we submit. Stories told of President Jimmy Carter. And Jimmy Carter, President 76 to 80, was gathering for an evening meal with his Secretary of State and some of his top diplomats, and they were discussing the weighty matters of foreign policy and the geopolitical situation at hand, and there's this knock at the door, and Jimmy Carter is told, President Jimmy Carter, the most powerful man in the world, that his 10-year-old daughter, Amy, had come to see him. Upon hearing this, the most powerful man in the world got up from his chair. The door was open, and Amy came in. And there, President Carter, on one knee, draw near to hear what was on his little daughter's heart. It's no different with God. God wants us to come to us, come to him as our good Heavenly Father. God wants to hear what's on your heart. He wants you to trust in his goodness. God wants to give you the gift of himself in the presence of what is going on in your life and in this world. Hence we pray, think of it, it's profound. Our Father. As I was praying that yesterday, I received some grace. Praying, our Father, and I got the sense, all our prayers can be summed up. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. When we come to God as a little child, trusting in the goodness of our Father to give us what we need, that childlike trust and faith and love honors, hallows God's name. And in that posture of faith as a child before our good God, the kingdom comes, the reign and rule of God, our Father. We fall in love with God as we discover that God is present, that God is our good Father, gives us the good gift of himself. That's why we pray, give us this day our daily bread. Lord, speak your word into my life. That's why we pray, Father, you know, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive, because we know we often do not trust God, and so we transgress, take matters into our own hands. We pray for protection. Yes, lead us not into temptation. Save us from just despair. Keep us from evil, God. But it all begins with, say with me, our Father. Isn't that wonderful? Our Father. So we're going to pray here. But I want you to think about your life. Maybe a health concern. It may be a wayward son or daughter. It may be this world. In a sense, what do we pray? All we can say. When you pray, Jesus said, pray, our Father. So let's just pray. God, we each have our own burden, our own care, concern. God, we live in a world that's challenging. We live in a world that's challenging. Our flesh, our weakened flesh is a challenge. We live in a world where the values are off, askew, evil even. And there is the evil one on the prowl. Lord, we come to you in whatever our great need. We're praying to you, Abba, Father. We just come to you as a child, as your children. We're just praying, our Father, our Father, our Father in heaven. Sovereign, our Father, holy, special be your name. Lord, you've promised to come to us, and we come boldly and shamelessly, praying our Father, inviting you into our life, into the very fabric of our lives. Our Father, amen.